decorations as well on the ceiling.
Right, the decorations of a sukkah are meant to enhance the sukkah and enhance the dira. If they interfere with your dira, then you have a problem of a dira srucha. Okay, we're learning the Ramban here in the sugya of Rabbi Shimon of Kala Makalkal and Peturim Chutz Michovil Umavi. And we started the Ramban yesterday. We want to continue today. I admit that it's quite challenging, it's tedious work, but you know, I don't always teach for everybody else, I also teach for myself. And for myself, this is a very important piece of the puzzle to try to figure out how the Ramban understood this sugya. One of the main points that he makes is in the paragraph that starts, V'ein ani omer kein. And in that paragraph, he's trying to juggle the following two principles and see if they can coexist. One is Mekalkel, and the other is Melacha Hatzricha Legufa, meaning that Rav Shimon says, in the case of Meleches Chovel, that you're chayev despite the fact that it's a Meleches Kilkul, and this he derives from Mila. And at the same time, Rav Shimon requires that the Melacha, in order to be chayev, has to be a Melacha Hatzricha Legufa. And the Ramban is trying to work out how can we have both A and B simultaneously. L'chore, the very moment I say it's a makalkel, it means it's destructive. There's no tzorech, there's no need. And if there's no need, then it's a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. How can I then go ahead and say, no, it's a malacha hatzricha legufa? For example, before we get to the Ramban's case, we spoke at great length last week about a Gemara in Sanhedrin, in case where you're taking out a thorn and you're taking out blood as well. And the Gemara says that taking out of the blood is called kilkul. Obviously, he would like to keep his blood inside his body. There's no need to take out the blood. That only weakens him. And it's a malacha ha-tzricha legufa. I'm sorry. And it's a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. What do I mean?
If you take out the blood.
Taking out the blood is ein tzricha legufa. He has no need for the blood. So on the one hand, he's actually destroying, he's weakening, he's taking out blood. That's a weakening act. That's called chovel. That itself would still generate a chiyuv according to Rav Shimon, because chovel is chayev even though it's a makalkil. But at the same time, we require, according to Rav Shimon, that it be a malacha tzricha legufa. Here, he has no tzorach for the dam. So he's taking out the dam, he's not collecting it, he's not using it, and therefore becomes ein tzricha legufa. The Ramban wants to know, could there be a case which is meleches chovel and it's mekalkel, but yet it's tzricha legufa? Because at the face of it, that's paradoxical. How can you say that it's tzricha legufa, he has a need for it, and yet you turn around and tell me that it's meleches mekalkel? Why isn't it mekalkel if he has a need for it?
I would think this torn, the torn that's being taken out of your finger, is like,
well, no, again, the tzricha legufa now is on the dam. That's the chavola. So chavola means removing dam. When I remove this dam, what am I doing with this dam? What gain, what benefit do I have from the dam?
Maybe when you're removing the thorn, your tzricha legufa is more for the finger itself. The action of using the finger properly, that could be not
dam. But that's not chavola. Chavola is not improving the finger. Chavola is removing the dam.
Right.
So in this case, when he removes the dam and he has no need for the dam, he has no use for the dam, the Gemara calls that a malacha shein tzricha legufa. Where is that Gemara? Just for your own notes, you know, make sure you know it's on Sanhedrin Daf Pehei Omer Aleph. We gave out those photocopies in the past. Now the Ramban takes up Mila. Mila has to be a paradigm, because that's where Rav Shimon bases, he derives his conclusion that Chovel is Chayev from a Kalkil. It's got to come from Mila. So in order to explain why Mila, number one, is Makalkil, and yet at the same time it's Tzricha Legufa, the Ramban gives a Chiddush here. He has an insight here in which he says that the malacha of chovel is being done on the nechbal. So I have this on the board for you here. We have something called the cheftza shel malacha. The cheftza shel malacha means the object which has to be improved through the malacha. And in every single case of the 39 malachas, I have to define what is the heftzah shel melacha, what is the object on which the melacha is done, presumably to improve that object. For example, if I dig a hole and I'm going to plant in it, I've enhanced the value of my land because now I can plant something in the land. So the heft of meleches choresh means digging holes in the ground, is the karka itself. The karka has now been improved. In the case of meleches chovel, the heft of shel melacha, says the Ramban, is the tinok, is the nechbal, the person who is damaged. And therefore it becomes a meleches mekalkel. Why is it mekalkel? Because whenever you weaken somebody, that's a kilkul. The Ramban gives an example for meleches gozes. Gozes means shearing. And you can shear the wool off the back of an animal, or you could cut off the nails of the hands of the animal, or of a human being. You can even trim someone's mustache. Says the Ramban, the heftah shel melacha is the nigzaz. The nigzaz means the person or the being, the animal, from whom or out of whom the shearings are being taken or being cut off. And presumably, if I have a poodle and I preen the poodle to make it beautiful, so when I give the poodle a haircut, then I preen the poodle. And that itself means that the nigzaz, in this case the poodle, is beautified by the netilas, by the gzizas haseyar. So too, in the case of netilas tziparnayim, which is a told of gozes, the person's fingers are beautified by the fact that we cut off the nails. That's not always the case. But if the nails are growing very long, then obviously you want to cut them down, and that becomes a malacha on the nigzaz. So the nigzaz, upon whom the meleches gozes is being done, is being fixed up, is being improved by the meleches gozes, the heft of the malacha is now improved, that's called a malacha of tikkun. Or, for example, in the case of meleches zoreh, which I don't have here on the board, where you remove the chaff from the grain becomes the heftza of meleches zoreh. You've improved the grain, because as long as the chaff is covering the grain, it's not so functional.
Rabbi, what if you cut your nails in such a way that it doesn't look pretty, but just cut?
Is it healthier? Is it more beautiful? In some way,
what if it's like bite your nail? That's like not considered nigzati, like not.
Right. So I would say that if you bite your nails in such a way that it doesn't improve your fingers, then that would not be a meleches tikkun. It would be a meleches kilkun.
Harvey, so it's still doing something wrong. You just give the rest back.
Just take one, Harvey.
Take
one for yourself. And we'll have others for the rest of the group.
Okay.
And I sent you a seat here, Harvey.
Yes.
How was your Rosh Hashanah?
Very nice.
Yeah? Were you in town? I didn't see you around.
No.
A little birdie tells me that you went to Herzliya. Is that any truth?
Yes, that's true.
So again, what's the heft of the melech of Zoreh? It's going to be the grains, not the chaff. And if the grains are improved by removing the chaff, that's called the melech as tikkun. Tzvi, you're okay here? You have enough room? Okay, good. Very nice. So now in the case of meleches chovel, getting back to that case of Mila, we have the nechbal, the child is the nechbal. Says the Ramban, the nechbal is weaker as a result of the Mila, and that makes it into into a meleches mekalkel. Now, in the case of Havara, the Ramban, again, here the language of the Ramban is a little bit unclear exactly where the kilkul is. One part of the Ramban indicates that the kilkul is in the fact that you converted the lead into a liquid, into molten lead. The other part of the Ramban seems to indicate that the fact that you destroyed your etzim, you know, you had this wood that's worth something on the market, now went up in smoke, that makes it into a meleches kilkul. However, says the Ramban, now we get to the punchline. As far as kilkul is concerned, we look at the atzmo. And what does it mean, hatzorech atzmo? Atzmo means the heftah shel melacha. So in the case of chovel, what's the heftah of the melacha? Or shall we say, who's the heftah of the melacha? Do we have it? Rabosai, again, Are you following me? In the case of Chovel, what is or who is the Chefta Shamalacha? The Nechbal. As far as the Nechbal is concerned, we have a Melechas Kilkul. So that's what he calls Hatzorech Atzmo, meaning the Chefta, the Melacha, which again is supposed to be improved, instead of being improved, it was depreciated, it was ruined. Right? Your Eitzim are now no longer worth much, and the baby now is weak. That's called Hanimol Nishar Chavul V'chole. And that makes it into a Melechas Kilkul. That's the Atzmo Shel Melacha. And that's called Kilkul B'Gufo Shel Atzmo Shel Melacha. Now we go on to the case of Tzricha L'Gufo or Eina Tzricha L'Gufo. Says the Ramban, since he, and here the key word is Adam Tzarech L'Zua Melacha. Do you remember the language of the Ramban? Adam Tzarech L'Zua Melacha. The person needs the Melacha. As far as determining whether it's Tzricha L'Gufo or not Tzricha L'Gufo, says Ramban, your criterion is not the Atzmo Shel Melacha, which we call the Chefta Shel Melacha, but rather the person himself. Does the person need and benefit from this Melacha? Does he gain anything by removing the Dam? If he gains something by removing the Dam, for example, the Torah commands him as a father to remove the Dam of Arla, and that's the mitzvah of Mila, then that's called Tzricha L'Gufa. He needs that Melacha. So the removing of the Dam vis-a-vis the Nechbal is Makalkel, but vis-a-vis the person who's implementing the Mila, who's doing the Melacha of Chovel, it's very beneficial for him to fulfill the mitzvah of Mila. And the same could apply in the case of burning trees for the sake of mitzvahs, Sreifas, Bas Kohen, Shezinsa. There too, he, the person, gains something from it, and that benefit makes it into a Melacha Hatzricha L'Guf. Go ahead.
I'm not following the distinction.
Okay.
You said in Tzricha Atzmo, the object, there is an improvement to the... there's a destruction to the object.
Exactly. That's the key of keys here.
I see. And then in the case of Adam Tzricha L'Gufa, there's an improvement, a tikkun. You're looking at the same thing, the same object, but in one case you're looking at it from the point of view of a kilkul, and in the other case you're looking at it from the point of view of the tikkun.
Right, well, so...
Even though it's the same act.
Well, yeah, but again, you know, we have a theory of relativity.
Okay.
So relative to the nechbal,
right,
this is destructive. But relative to the chovel, there's something very beneficial. So again, so this is the point. Let's make it into a modus tollens. You know, we'll get right at the logic of it. The logic is as follows. Every melacha, that means 39, has a cheft. And in every case, we have to define what that cheft is. Meleches Chovel is one of the 39 melachas. The chefta of Meleches Chovel is the nechbal. Now, we have two questions now to ask. Question number one, is this a Meleches Kilkul or a Meleches Tikkun? No, but question number two is it Tzricha L'Gufa or is it Eina Tzricha L'Gufa? Says the Ramban, there are two different criterions that will give you two different answers to those two different questions. Right. The first criterion is going to be the Cheftah Shel Melacha. That's what he calls Atzma. Atzma. The Cheftah Shel Melacha, in this case, is what? The Nechbal. Now, is the Nechbal feeling good or feeling bad? You know what I'm saying? He's feeling bad. If he's feeling bad, that means that it's a Meleches Kilkul. Why? Because I'm looking at the Nechbal. And again, I can go through with this in every single case. When I burn down the trees and I create a fire, the trees are the Nechbal, so to speak, and that's destructive. That makes it into a Meleches Kilkul. Oh, now we get to the second criterion and the second question. Tzricha L'Gufa. No. Now, when I ask the question of Tzricha L'Gufa, to whom am I addressing that question? Not to the Nechbal, but the Mechabel, exactly, the Chovel. And we shouldn't laugh about the word Mechabel today, because I don't know what the count is up to.
I think three.
Yeah, I don't know, three and a half, I don't know. So as far as the Chovel is concerned...
But there's a difference, the Nechabel, in the case of the Chovel, or in the case of the Ma'avir.
Okay, you want to talk about Ma'avir?
Well, makes sense. Okay.
Let's talk about Chovil. I'll tell you why, because I want to come back to Mila.
All right, so Chovil, you have the wood, and you have the Eish, based upon yesterday's lecture.
Okay, wait a second. Okay. Let's just try, leave that Eish for a minute, because, you know, there's so many things hitting us at the same time.
Okay.
I want to sort of wave my, you know, how should I say,
magic wand.
Move my way right through all the flood of information here. Let's stick to the case of Chovil.
Okay.
Now, what's going to be the paradigm case of Chovil in the Torah?
Mila.
Okay, and Reb Shimon is going to build castles in the sky based on Mila. What happens in Mila? So the Rabban says, well, let's look at the Chefetz Shel Melacha. What's the Chefetz Shel Melacha? Who is the Chefetz Shel Melacha? Again, look at my chart. The Nechba. Again, let's use the term Nechba. Okay, in this case, you're right. It's the baby. From the Nechba's perspective, says the Rabban, and again, we'll underline these words if you have the Ramban inside. Hanimol nishar chavul v'chole. Can you underline those words? It's from the bottom, four lines up from the bottom. Shahanimol nishar chavul v'chole.
What is that?
This is the Ramban.
This is the Ramban. Dibra maskil v'ein ani. This is what we gave out yesterday, Harvey. I don't know if yours is around here. Here it is. Sorry, I'll just underline a few so you'll have it here. Just 1 second. Where am I? Oh, sorry. So we have that, Shadnimo. Now, this word, Shadnimo. What would be the abstract word, the term that we're using?
Mila.
No, we're using on the blackboard.
Nechpa.
On the whiteboard, yeah. Right?
Nechpa.
Okay, Nimol equals Nechpa. Just a change of language. They're all the same.
Nimol equals
Nechpa. Nechpa. That's very important.
Yes.
Nishar, he remains. Chavul v'chola. He's victimized, he's assaulted, he's bleeding. And he's chol, he's sick. That's the way it goes. Again, you know, sometimes the Torah asks us to draw blood, and that's b'damay chayi. That's what it's called. Okay, then. Now, ask yourself a different question: is there a tzorech for this meal?
You want to change the status of the baby?
But again, to whom are we addressing this question?
To the
nechbal or to the chovel?
The father.
To the chovel. Moel, the father, whoever is doing the meal. Here we're asking him, well, you just implemented a melach of Shabbos. One of the 39 melachos called Melachas Chovil. What was your need for it? Did you have a purpose in mind? What motivated you? What benefit did you get out of it? And the answer is, I benefited because the Torah commanded me in this mitzvah meal. That makes it, says the Ramban, Tzricha Legufa. And now, Don, we get back to the relativity theory. We just finished saying that it's a kilkul. That's as far as whom? The nechba. But as far as the person who's doing the malacha, to him, and only to him, we address the following question. Is it tzricha or is it ain't a tzricha? And the answer is it's tzricha. So we have now solved this very fundamental paradox. How can you call it kilkul and at the same time call it tzricha legufa? So you have this relativity theory. Now we'll apply the relativity theory in the case of burning down wood. I need the fire in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Sreifas Pas Kohen. On the other hand, I'm destroying the Eitzim. I'm destroying the wood. So let's assume that the wood is the fire, and the fire is the wood. So as far as the Chefetz Shel Melach is concerned, that's called a Meleches Kilkul, because now I'm destroying the Eitzim. The Eitzim were worth 100 shekel, now they're worth zero. But if you ask me about the person who's burning this wood, what's his purpose? To fulfill the mitzvah of Sreifas Pas Kohen, that makes it Tzricha Legufa. So we now have two different criterion to answer two different questions. We have one criterion to answer the question of Chovel, of Mekalkel or Metaken. We have another question to answer the question, is it Tzricha Legufa or ain't it Tzricha Legufa? The first question, is it Chovel or is it Mekalkel or is it Metaken? That we address to the Chefetz. Chefza means the victim, or Shmuel, how did you call it yesterday?
The object.
The target, right? The target. The victim, the target, the object, whatever you want to call it. The victim, any word that you like to use. That's called the nechba. In the case of Alechis Goseis, that's called the nigzas. Okay, we can keep going on and on. That makes it into a Melechas Kilkul because the Nechbal is weaker as a result of the Chavol. However, if you ask me a different question, is it Tzricha L'Guf or not? That question I'm not addressing to the Nechbal. He's the object. I'm addressing it to the subject, the person who's implementing the Melech. And I ask the person, why did you implement this Melech on Shabbos? What motivated you? What benefit did you gain? And if his answer is positive, and if it's satisfactory, then I construct a Malach HaTzricha L'Guf. So that is, in a short form, a review of some of the main points we discussed yesterday in the Ramban. Today, we want to get to the Haggadah Shel Pesach part, V'kana Ben Shoel. That phrase is taken from the Mishnah at the end of Psachim, where it tells you at what point in the Seder should the child be asking Manish Tan. Okay. Kana Ben Shoel. Okay then? So we're now on page Tzadi Hey, if you have the photocopy. And it's the second paragraph, about seven lines down from the top.
Wait. What was the other shot?
I have other pages, so fold it over or something.
Tzadi Hey?
Yeah.
By the way, Tzvi, there's a photocopy here, also give one to Tzvi and Ben. Do you have that? It's like a... You have it? Great. So if you can keep that in files. It's not for this morning shiur, but I want to make sure everyone has it.
I don't have it.
You don't have it?
I don't have Sadi Hay.
I do.
You don't have Sadi Hay? Okay.
I have extra copies.
Okay, so we'll look for Sadi Hay.
Thank you. Rabbi Berzon?
Yes.
Isn't the idea of the Ramban a lot to do with the fact that the Malacha, we want to continue to analyze the action of the person? And the results could sometimes be in a number of directions, also if the action got completed. So, and then he did get to a Chumrah in Chovel and Mavir, because once you've ignited something, so you already did the malacha, and then was it purposeful or not becomes not totally secondary, but much less emphasized now, because we're saying that there's a slight tikkun. We have to use other words we already learned about this, but
yeah.
You know what I mean, that it's much more centered on the activity of the person doing the malacha now,
because all of Shabbos and 39 malachas is about the activity of the person who implements
right.
The malacha. On the other hand, when we talk about Mekalkel versus Tikkun, there we shift the emphasis to the Malacha itself. Forget about the person leave out the person. Look at the Malacha per se. The Malacha is being done, every Malacha is done on a certain heft, on a certain object. Let's look at the Malacha and its impact on the object. And if you isolate the object, says the Ramban, you're talking about thumbs down. You're talking about a kilkel. If, on the other hand, you're talking about the person who implements the malacha, does he get benefit from it? What motivates him? Does he have a tzricha l'guf or not? The answer is yes. He has a tzorach. Okay then? So that's, in a nutshell, a review of what we covered yesterday in the Ramban. Now we're up to V'kana Ben Shoel. Okay then? Are we ready to move on?
Yeah.
He says, "Bein l'dvarenu, bein l'divrei Rabboseinu atzarfatim zal." We have to ask a question according to all the different interpretations. Earlier, in the part that we did not cover, he presents a view of the Tzarfatim, which refers to Rashi and Rabbeinu Shmuel. They had a different theory here about how to interpret and who holds what. Maybe call him a kalkul p'turim chutz mi'chovel u'mavir is not Rab Shimon, but rather Rab Yehuda. Be that as it may, tzarech lekalbo v'tzarech li'afro. If the case of chovel is a case of tzricha legufo, because he needs the blood, what is he going to do with the blood? He's going to feed his dog. If he needs the fire by converting the etzim into ashes, he needs the ashes. So the question is, Metaken Gomurhu, why not assume that that is a complete tikkun? Va'mai lo machayev lekuli alma, and why shouldn't we therefore assume that everybody should agree that you're chayev, even if you hold that makalkel is potur, but here it's not a makalkel, it's a tikkun. And Rabosai, we already are equipped, we can anticipate the answer of the Ramban without even seeing it. We could cover the next the balance of this paragraph, and we could offer an answer to the Ramban's question. Oh yeah, it's tzricha lekalbo, but that doesn't make it into a maleches tikkun. Why not?
In Derkovic.
Yeah, okay, but I'm saying in terms of the language that we use, we're talking about Chovel. When you want to determine whether it's Mekalkel or Metakin, what is your criterion?
The end result.
The end result vis-a-vis
the person
who's doing it, but the Nechbal. Again, I'm trying very hard. You know, I need a choir today. We got to know the word Nechbal. If you there's certain words, if you don't have them, and if it's not at your fingertips, then I'll repeat them over and over again, and you'll never know what I'm talking about. But if you get the word Nechbal, get it down pat. Again, we offered four different English translations of the word Nechbal. I'm not going to review them. Just get to know the Hebrew here, the Lashon Kodesh. Nechbal. Okay then? So we can already anticipate the Ramban's answer. Because again, he needs the dam for his Kelev. But he's taking the dam out of, everybody, the Nechbal. And as far as the Nechbal is concerned, whose blood has now been removed, we have a Kilkul. Now you might say, well, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't be so concerned about the Nechbal. Maybe we should look at the general picture. Like, let's say, for example, you know, somebody Chas v'Shalom desperately needs a blood transfusion, and we now have to take blood out of someone in order to give that blood to someone else. Now, the someone who's donating the blood, we'll call him the donor. He's called what? The Nechbal. Now, you might say, well, he's a little bit weaker, but in the overall picture, as far as the universe is concerned, somebody's life is going to be saved. So, you know, you could begin to do a balancing act here, and you might weigh the pros, the positive against the negative, and come to the conclusion that overall, this is a very good thing. But the answer is that to feed your dog, you don't take blood out of somebody. Find a different way of obtaining, you know, buying your local dog's blood in the market. So that's what he says over here. He says, "Hey Shivu Bazeh." They gave the following answer: "Shekol ma she'ein darko shel bnei adam lekalkel b'shvil oso atikun." If there's nothing objectively, darko shel bnei adam means objectively, that would justify this kilkul, then it remains a kilkul. And as far as Shabbos is concerned, if you want to upgrade something to the level of a tikkun, you have to ask yourself, well, would a normal person, under normal circumstances, objectively, would he be justified, or would it be valid for him to create this kilkul? And now the Ramban says, why is it that we look at the Nechbal and we have no justification according to Bnei Adam to justify the Nechbal, the fact that this Nechbal's blood is being taken out? Why is that a hafka? Why does that remove? Why does that undermine Meleches Shabbos? Vatam Mishum de Meleches Machsheves Be'inon. Because with regard to Meleches Shabbos, you need a Meleches Machsheves. Machsheves means something which makes sense, something which is logical, it's creative, it's constructive. But to take someone's blood out in order to feed the dog, that's not considered something that's acceptable. That's normal, normative behavior. That's something that other people would do. And therefore, it's not meleches machsheves. So again, if I were to wake you up in the middle of the night and ask you, why is mekalkel potur on Shabbos? What would be your answer? Meleches machsheves. Okay? No, now we need another sing-song here. Again, I'm going to ask you again. If I want to know why Mekalkel is potter on Shabbos, the answer is Meleches Machsheves. Oh, now I like it. It's getting more Leverdik in here. He says, V'ein zu Meleches Machsheves, she'ei chovel bi'odom l'tzorach ha'kelev. That's not called Meleches Machsheves. Melechus Makshevus means some sort of objective validation. I'll give you an example. The Gemara tells us that if you want to take something out of Rishus HaYochanan and bring it to Rishus HaRabim, you have to carry a certain minimum size. That's called the shear of Melechus Hotzah. So instead, this guy carried a minuscule, a fraction of a fraction of a piece of carrot. You can hardly see it, it's microscopic. That's not Melechus Makshevus. We wouldn't bother going from one rishus to the other to bring something that's minuscule, again, unless it was very, very valuable. That's, you have to see what the halacha would be in that case. Or, for example, let's say a person normally writes with his right hand, and on Shabbos he writes with his left hand. Objectively, writing with a left hand is not the way to do it. Again, if you're ambidextrous, that's something else. But I'm talking about, if I, for example, I'll talk about myself, if I try to write with my left hand, I'll be here from now till doomsday, and at the end of the day, you won't be able to read what I wrote anyway. Some people would say, even if I wrote with my right hand, the same is true. But let's assume I have a decent penmanship. But when I write with my left hand, that's not... So again, it's lacking in some sort of objective validation. That's called Meleches Machshevus. Machshevus means it has to have a certain chashivus to it, a certain significance to it. He gives another example. He says, V'yadlik godish litzarech ha'efer. A man is going to burn down a haystack because he needs the efer. That's kilkul. That's not a Meleches Machshevus. Who would do such a thing? You may find some crazy or in some very strange situation that it's justified. But as a general rule, objectively, it's not justified. That makes it into a Meleches Kilkul. Now, I could ask you the following question then. If a man slaughters an animal on Shabbos, he's Chayav, that's in the Mishnah, and yet the animal's worth a heck of a lot more when it's alive than it's worth as meat. Again, we pay a lot of money for meat, but a live animal, that you could use as a workhorse, as a work animal, that's worth much, much more. So now when he shechts the animal is the nechbal, that's a kilkul. The animal's worth a lot less. Elo what? He needs meat. Okay, so he needs meat. But is that called a Meleches Tikkun? Says the Ramban. Avol Shochev, this logic is not applicable in the case of Shechita, or Umadlik Eitzim, was somebody who lights up, right, he burns trees in order to cook on them. Misakinu Eitzel Shabbos, L'divrei HaKol, everybody agrees that that's called a Tikkun. D'atnan B'Ovis Melachos, these are listed in Ovis Melachos. And Rabbi Yochanan himself adds another two Melachos to the list. Okay, that's a sugya that we don't know about on Daf Ayin Hey Amid Beis. But from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan adds two Melachos to the list, apparently he agreed to the first 39, including Mavir and Shechita. Now in Mavir and Shechita, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we need a Meleches Tikkun. So how is it a Tikkun when you take wood and you burn the wood? The wood was worth 1,000, now it's worth nothing. The answer is because he needs to cook on it. And if he needs to cook on it, that for Rov B'nai Adam, that's Darkon Shel B'nai Adam, to burn the logs, to make a campfire in order to put your pot on the fire. Or, for example, the case of Shechita, it's very normal and accepted behavior that you sheft an animal in order to eat its meat. And therefore, Eitzel Shabbos is called a Meleches Tikkun. So now, what we have in the Ramban is, number one, if we want to determine whether or not the Melacha is Mekalkel or Metaku, we have to look at the Cheftza Shel Melacha, which in the case of Chovel is the Nechbal, and in the case of Mavir, we're talking about the Eitzim that are going up in fire. Number two, says the Ramban, if you want to tell me that as far as the Nechbal is concerned, as far as the Eitzim is concerned, it's Meleches Tikkun, then you have to convince yourself that it's Darkon Shel Bnei Adam, that this is normal behavior. V'afal gav d'le'inyan avodah zorah aminu v'perakam d'chulin sakin shel avodah zorah mutal lishchot bo mishum d'makalkil, who are very happy and proud to say, I know what the Ramban is talking about. We're well fortified. This is the sugya d'chulin that we saw, that if the sakin was used as a cult in a ritual for idolatry, it becomes osur v'ano. You're allowed to take that sakin and use it to shecht an animal. he's benefiting from it, and it's Isurei Anah. The answer is it's Mekalkel, says the Gemara. Why? Because the animal is worth a heck of a lot less after the Shechita than it was worth during its lifetime. Gabi Shabbos miu mechayev, but as far as Shabbos is concerned, since this is a darkon shel bnei adam, and people want to eat the meat, and they can only eat the meat if they shech the animal, so Shechita becomes a derech bnei adam for the sake of this malacha. That means that this malacha is justified, it's validated, it's objective, it's darkon shel bnei adam, and therefore it's malachas tikkun. Why does the Gemara in Avodah Zarah call it the Gemara in Chulin call it malachas Kilkul? That's because as far as the Isurei Anah is concerned, you only violate Isurei Anah when you have more money in the bank account. But if you have a deficit in your bank account, that's called Kilkul. Because again, Isurei Anah means Tachlis, what Anah do I have? And I want to know if financially I get benefit from it. That's my criterion for Isurei Anah. So in the case of Shechita, since it was worth more before the Shechita than after the Shechita, therefore it's not called a Anah. It's Mut. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, since a person very much wants to shecht an animal to allow and permit the eating of its meat, that makes it into a meleches tikkun, which how shall I say, fulfills the requirement of darkon shel bnei adam. Now at this juncture, the Ramban invites Rabbeinu Tam into the arena. You may remember that we learned this from Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam again asks the question, why is it that as far as Shechita with a sakin shel avodah zarah, the Gemara calls that Mekalkel, but yet Shechita is an av malach on Shabbos, and according to Rabbi Yochanan at least, it's got to be a malach tikkun. So how can you call it a Mekalkel and a Metakin at the same time? So now Rabbeinu Tam says, Hadachoshe Mekalkel, afim tzorch lekabel tzorch liafro, lefisha ein atikun ba, Peshas hakilkul to liachas hanasis hachabura ba hadam liachas hanas havara ba haefer v'ein zeh v'ein tam zeh mechuvar v'lo maskim lida'atenu. So the Ramban suggests that we take a look at Rabbeinu Tam and analyze Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that if you want to define a meleches mekalkel as a metaken and say that you have some tikkun from it, it's not enough that you ask, well, what are my benefits from this malacha? For example, I benefit from chovil because I collect the dam and I feed it to my dog. I benefit from burning all these eitzim because I get the ashes and now I can cook my egg in the ashes. No, says Rabbeinu Tam. That's not enough. Why? Because the hana, the benefit, has to be inherent in the malacha. What does that mean, inherent in the malacha? Immediately, simultaneously with the malacha, I get the benefit from it. When do I get the benefit of tzarech lekalbo? Do I get that benefit immediately when I assault my victim and take his blood out? No, it's only later when I feed my dog. In the case of mavir, do I get my benefit when I light the fire and burn up the eitzim? No, later on I'm going to take this fire and I'm going to use it for my purpose. I'll put my pot on the fire, or I'll use the fire to create ashes, whatever I use the fire for, to illuminate my room. Be that as it may, there's a step-by-step process. I'm looking for an English word which is not coming to my brain now.
Sequential?
Yeah. It's kind of like a delayed reaction, do you know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to emphasize here, that there are two events that take place, and one triggers off the other.
It's not an immediate benefit.
Correct, it's not immediate. And if it's not immediate, then it's not considered a malachas tikkun. Tikkun means immediate. It's inherent in the malacha. How do I know whether it's inherent in the malacha? How do I know whether to classify this malacha as a tikkun or not? The answer is, my criterion is, do I benefit from the malacha as I'm doing the malacha? With the malacha, I get the benefit. That's not true in the case of chovil v'tzarech lekalbo. With the malach, I don't get my benefit. My benefit is when my dog feels satiated from the dam. My benefit in the case of sreifa is when I can take this afer and use it. Not so, however, in the case of shechita, says Rabbeinu Tam. In the case of shechita, the benefit is the halachic transition from being aver menachai to being basar heter. How am I matir the basa? Through shechita. So the shechita itself inherently has this constructive act, this tikkun, of being matir the basa, of removing the Isra and permitting the eating of the meat. That benefit is there immediately. There's a change of status or a change of state with regard to the basa, the flesh of the animal, and that change of status is beneficial. That's a tikkun, and it's inherent in the ma'aseh shechita. It's not something that I have to wait, and there's no delay element here, and say, well, down the line I'll get the benefit. No, the benefit is immediate. It's palpable. It's with the shechita itself. With the shechita itself, I have the heter.
It's a bit counterintuitive, though, because you still have to cook the meat. You can't just eat raw meat.
You know, that's an interesting question, Dave, whether you can eat raw meat, by the way, in and of itself.
But people don't, right? People don't.
Right. Like, for example, would you eat a raw egg?
I a long time
ago. I was training for a world title.
Exactly. Rocky would eat a raw egg.
In my grandfather's time, he told me that eating raw eggs were totally acceptable.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I know the people who need to prepare themselves for chazanas, you know, will drink a raw egg.
They used to actually crack it open and drink it.
So the Gemara has a whole clara about raw meat. You know, one opinion the Gemara is that we would never eat raw meat, and another opinion the Gemara is that like we could eat raw fish. That's very popular today. It's called sushi.
Yeah, that's raw. I thought it was raw.
Well, I don't know. There are different types of sushi.
Salmon itself is raw.
The sushi that I eat is not raw fish. That I can promise you. I can't even get myself to eat raw fish.
Rabbi Berzon, the chef that he could give to a non-Jewish friend, that it wouldn't be ever minachai anymore.
Okay, that's a good idea.
So it's Hana, get Hana on Shabbat from it.
But that I think would be delayed Hana. That would be like feeding your kelim. Not that I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not making that equation.
As a guest.
No, but he loses money on that. He loses money on that. No, seriously, right. It doesn't qualify.
Right, it doesn't qualify because it's like the case of feeding your kelim. So the change of status of the meat from a heter, from Issa to heter, that itself is the immediate an inherent tikkun in shechita.
But you can't take advantage of it probably until after Shabbat.
Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know. You have to know more about the dinim of Eber Min HaChai. Ben, did you want to say something?
No, it's just going to be the Eber Min HaChai thing, but you're metaken immediately. It's no longer Eber Min HaChai. You're already doing a tikkun.
Right. So the question is, how do we view that as a tikkun? David is asking, right now I'm not eating this meat. So maybe that's a delayed reaction. Why is the change of status itself an immediate kind of heter? And maybe, in truth, David, that might be what the Ramban has in mind when he says, "Lo maskim l'da'atenu." See, I would have written a little differently. I would have said, "Ein da'atenu maskim." Our understanding does not accept, does not agree. He's saying his thesis, Rabbi Yitam's thesis, does not agree with our mind. It's like a poetic way of saying that we can't accept it. And it's interesting that the Ramban doesn't take out his missiles and start shooting them and telling us why he refuses to accept Rabbein Tam. We could suggest what David said. That's an interesting suggestion, is that he won't gain any benefit from permitting the meat until such time as he eats the meat. So that makes it a delayed reaction. Another question that you might ask on Rabbein Tam is it really so that the shechita itself creates a heter? Now, it's true that shechita removes the iser of Eber Min HaChai, but there's another iser involved that has to be removed, and that hasn't been removed yet. What's that? Dam, right? Because the meat is saturated with blood. So that has to be removed through a process which is called, anybody remember?
Malicha,
correct. He needs malicha. So shechita is only the first stage of being matir.
And malicha is also on Shabbat also.
Right, again, I'm not talking about whether malicha is also on Shabbat. This guy's not interested whether it's also or not. Maybe he forgot it's Shabbat, so, or he doesn't know the malachas. But he'll have to admit to us that if his tikkun is preparing the meat for achila, then in hilchas matir, he has only implemented the first matir, but he needs another matir, because right now the meat is saturated with dam. So he needs malicha. Another argument against Rabbeinu Tam could be the fact that what difference does it make if the tikkun is immediate or it's a delayed reaction? I could always anticipate what this action is going to bring me, what benefits I'm going to get down the line.
That's the Ramban, though, right? According to the Rabbeinu Tam, if it's not immediate, it's not a tikkun.
Right, so, no, I'm just... My question was, why does the Ramban write below maskim l'datein? So I'm offering three different approaches.
Okay.
Below maskim l'datein. The first approach is... that, as David said before, practically he's not benefiting from the shechita until such time as he eats the meat. And he's not eating the meat immediately, so there's a delayed reaction. It's no different than taking the blood out and feeding your dog. The second objection of lo maskin l'datenu might mean because the matir itself is not a complete matir, it's only the beginning prayer process. And the ultimate matir, the makom patish at the end of the line, is going to be malicha. He hasn't done the malicha yet. And the third objection to Rabbeinu Tam might be that who says that in order to make something of Meleches Tikkun, I need to justify the tikkun right now. Who says it has to be right now? Why can't it be later? It's a tikkun because it sets up a pattern. It begins a process which ultimately will lead to some sort of a benefit. And if that benefit is justified, if it's valid, if it's objective, then that should make it into Meleches Tikkun. So who cares if the dam that's being fed to his kelev is going to be fed at time T2 and not at time T1 when he actually victimized and took out the blood? My shna. The Ramban is going to say a different answer because l'achilu l'kelev is not something objective. It's ein darkon shel b'nei adam. Ein darkon shel b'nei adam lachbol kidei l'achil l'kalbo es adam. That's not the derech. So ultimately, when we look at this malacha, as you victimize someone and you chovel and you take out his blood, we have to say it's a malacha's kilkul. Yeah, he has a purpose, but that purpose doesn't justify what he's doing because nobody in their right mind would do it that way. Rabbeinu Tam is offering a different suggestion, namely that the benefit that he gets for feeding his dog is a delayed benefit. It's not immediate, simultaneous with his chavol. Again, you know, we could maybe avoid this whole discussion between the Ramban and Rabbeinu Tam. We could go back to the Ramban and at the end of the paragraph, V'einani Omer came. That's yesterday's paragraph in the Ramban. And we could simply say that we look at the Nechbal. And if we look at the Nechbal, which is the Cheftza Meleches Chovel, is the Nechbal. We haven't forgotten it yet, right? The Cheftza Meleches Chovel is the Nechbal. And we look at the Nechbal, which is the Cheftza Melecha. The Nechbal is Cholev Chovel. He's in a very bad straits here. He's lacking dam. You know, he may need eerie dam. You know, we got to add some blood to his system because he's low on blood. His white blood cell count is down. And that's called a Meleches Kilkul. He needs the dam to feed his dog. Okay, that's called Melecha Tzricha Legufa, because they were addressing not the Nechbal, but rather the Chovel. So now we have three different answers to the question as to why Tzarech Dam L'Kalbo remains a Meleches Mekalkel. It's either a Meleches Mekalkel because of the Nechbal, or it's a Meleches Mekalkel because objectively no one would do such a thing just simply for the benefit of feeding his dog the blood. But the third answer is because the benefit that he gets by feeding his dog is a delayed benefit which is not simultaneous with the act of Chavol.
I think I got the point of the shechita. If a person had a cow and turned it into kosher meat but not yet nimlach, he could feed it to his dog. Right?
Correct.
So maybe he has hungry animals.
Right. That's a good point. That's a good point. Rabbeinu Tam would argue, I don't need a second matir because I want to feed it to my animal. So yeah. The human being needs a second matir, but for the animal, it's already mukhan. Very good. I like that.
Robert,
yeah, Ben.
Can you assume there are different understandings of malachim machshava? It has to be derech uma, and it was precar. I mean, there's not just one definition of malachim machshava, correct? We're going according to certain enough.
You know what? I would hold. Can you hold that question just till we finish the next paragraph? Because I have something. I've a lot prepared for that question, but I just want to read the next paragraph.
You're in trouble.
Okay. The ashuv lidvarai. I want to go back to my original words. Lefareish, to explain tamayu de Rabbi Avo v'Rabbi Yochanan. Okay then. Now, I want to add an introduction to this paragraph, if I may.
Rabbi, is Rabbi Yochanan from Eretz Yisrael and Rabbi Avo is the Babylonian one?
As far as I know, Rabbi Avo is also in Eretz Yisrael, I think.
That's why they're Rabbi, yes. They're both Rabbi in Eretz Yisrael.
I think they were both from Eretz Yisrael, I don't know. But honestly, the historical question, you'll have to wait till after Shia, because it's just going to derail me. All the biologies, physics, psychology, and history have to wait till after Shia. You know, I learned by Rav Soloveitchik. There was a guy in the Shia, it's the sweetest guy you've ever met. Oh, very edel. I don't know how to translate that into English.
Very fine.
Refined, sensitive. The Rav Soloveitchik had him pegged as a philosopher. I don't know why. Maybe he was studying philosophy in college. I don't know. Every time the poor guy raised his hand in Shia, the Rav would say, "No philosophy." So you don't want me to every time you raise your hand to say no history. But in Rav Soloveitchik's Shia, you know, to ask a question was a whole... It wasn't simple to ask a question because...
I'm not telling you more than English.
There were over 100 in the Shia, and you thought a million times before you asked the question. I remember we were learning a sugya called Malika Bechatas Ofen, and I raised my hand to ask a question. He says to me, "Berzon, I think you better just listen. Don't ask any questions." But, you know, it wasn't a simple matter to ask a question. I remember once we were sitting, you know, again, it was a very crowded classroom. You think this room was crowded. Imagine what it was like, over 100 guys in a little room over there. And we were three guys to the Rav's left. And I'm not going to mention any names here, but anyway, there was one guy right behind the Rav to his left, and there was a guy behind that. Again, he was a very sweet guy, not the philosopher, but the other. And so the guy right to the Rav's left, you know, yelled out something. So the Rav turns like this, he said, "Who said such a thing?" So he turns to the guy behind him and says, "He said it." Then the Rav used to take the attendance every morning. So he got to Schwartz. So Schwartz was afraid that if the Rav saw him, he would call on him to read. That was the biggest fear, because if the Rav called on you to read, he could make mincemeat out of you. So the guy gets up and he says, "Schwartz didn't come today." So the Rav says to him, "Okay, you read the Gemara." In any event, so getting back to Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan, so I wanted to give you a little bit of an introduction to this paragraph. You remember that as far as taking out a splinter on Shabbos, even if you remove the blood, we said that that was mutter. And why is that mutter? Because it's a melacha sheinah tzricha leguf. He has no need for the dam. He's not collecting the dam, he's not feeding his this, nothing. Now, we already established that you can have a meleches kilkul, and yet it could be tzricha legufa. Yeah, but the only problem is, that makes sense according to Rabbi Yochan. It doesn't make sense according to Rabbi Avo. Let me explain why. Rabbi Avo says that according to Rabbi Shimon, yechayef chovel, even if it's a kilkul gomor, it's a total kilkul. There's no element whatsoever of construction, of positive benefits from it. Now, if that be the case, then by definition, it's going to be a melacha hatzricha leguf. And another way of saying this is going to be what Ben said before about meleches makshevet. If Rabbi Avo says that you're chayev according to Rabbi Shimon for chovel, despite the fact that it's a makalkel, then it must be that we're suspending the requirement of meleches makshevet. Now, if we suspend the requirement of meleches makshevet, then who cares whether it's tzricha leguf or ain't a tzricha leguf? So I just want to say that the purpose or the goal of this paragraph here in the Ramban is try to understand the concept of melacha tzricha legufa within the context of Rabbi Avo. How could it be tzricha legufa if it's a kilkul gomor? And moreover, who cares whether it's tzricha legufa? Even if it's not tzricha legufa, there's no requirement of meleches makshevet. Okay, well, that might have sounded like Chinese to you, I don't know. But hopefully we'll flesh it out and it'll be more meaningful as we go through the words of the Ramban. He says, L'farish tamayu de Rabbi Avo v'Rabbi Yochanan. Hevi yodea. You have to know the following. De tame de Rabbi Shimon de potar melacha shein etzricha legufa mishum meleches makshevas. The Torah requires meleches makshevas. And if that be the case, then if he's eino tzricha leguf, he doesn't need the melacha, then that's not called meleches makshevas. Makshevas means that you have machshava, you have a kavana, you have a desire to do this melacha, you have benefits from the melacha, that's called meleches makshevas. But if you have no benefits from this melacha, then what's it worth for you? imagine, again, I don't know if there would be, you probably have to be a crazy person to do this, but let's say you took a pot of food, put it on the fire, and you have no intention whatsoever of eating the food. I don't know, he's enjoying burning food, you know. So in such a case, that would be a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. If something is a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, has no benefit from the malacha, that's not called maleches machsheves. Machsheves means well thought out. There's a plan, there's a scheme, there's a goal. He wants to achieve his goal. That, you know, so Shabbos has to be goal oriented. Right? You remember in psychology, we used to talk about, when I was a kid anyway, we talk about goal orientation. Shabbos has to be goal oriented. And that's called a meleches machsheves. Machsheves means I put some machshava into the melacha, I plan it out, I scheme, I want to achieve a goal. If he has no purpose and no goal, that's not called meleches machsheves. That's what Reb Shimon says is a melacha shein etzricha legufa. And not only that, if we require meleches machsheves, then we have to have a tikkun. We have, you know, it's machsheves means it's a well thought out plan, and there's a goal, and there's a constructive goal. If that goal is not constructive, but rather destructive, then it's a makalkel. And therefore, the Ramban says, time of the reason kol makalkel and peturin is nami, is also for the same reason. Mishum deboy, we need meleches machsheves, and this is all written explicitly in the Gemara in the first parak of Chagiga on Daf Yudamid Beis. And now we go to Chovel and we pick up Meleches Chovel. How do we categorize, how do we define Meleches Chovel from the perspective of Meleches Machsheves? Is Mishum Hachi Sov Rabbi Avo Lemeima? Rabbi Avo thinks, is Hare Lamadnu Le Rabbi Shimon De Mila Kilku Le Gufo Shal Nimol? In the Meleches Chovel, the paradigmic case of Mila, as we said earlier, the Nimol is Chovel, and he's chole, he's weak, and therefore, as far as the chefetz meleches chovel, the nechbal, it is kilkul. Ella, what are you going to tell me? Tikun hu vaday etzal achev sholsim nachasruach liyotzro. They're doing something that pleases the Almighty, their Creator, because He commanded us in the midst of milo. V'darko shol bnei adam lasos ken. So now you can ask yourself the following question: why does Rav Shimon, according to Rabbi Avo's understanding of Rav Shimon, define Mila and the Chovel of Mila as a Meleches Kilkul? After all, this is a normal way of doing it. The Torah wants you to do it. You're bringing Nachas Ruach Kaviyochel to the Ribono Shel Olam. Ella, but rather, why does Rabbi Avo insist that it's still a Meleches Kilkul? Because he's focused on the Nechbal, correct? And if you focus your attention on the Nechbal, the Chefta, the Malach of Chovel, then it's Kilkul. Kevon di'ein hatikun mamish begufo. Gufo here in the Ramban means what we call the Tzorach Gufo before, means the Chefta of the Malach. There's no tikun in the Chefta of the Malach. The Chefta here is the baby who is the Nechbal. But rather, tikun uchutz migufo shal Malach. You can tell me that it's a tikkun not in the nechbal, but it's a tikkun in the mitzvah mila makes it into a tikkun, but that's not enough. Why? Because meleches tikkun means that in the gufa shel melacha, in the chefta shel melacha, there's a tikkun. Here in the chefta shel melacha of mila, it's a kilkul, and therefore it's a meleches kilkul. Imtzenu, therefore, if the Torah says you're not allowed to do Mila on Shabbos, Mechayvim Kilkul B'Chabura L'Rab Shimon, it must be telling us that Meleches Chabura is Chayv on Shabbos, even though it's a Kilkul. Because again, as far as the Nechbal, the baby, is concerned, it's a Kilkul. Therefore, says Tosus, according to this understanding, Rabbi Avo's understanding of Rabbi Shimon, the bottom line is going to be Afilu B'She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa Nami Chayev. Even if he's not collecting the blood to feed his dog, he's just victimizing someone, that is a melech of Chovel. And why is that a melech of Chovel? Because even if it's Ein Tzricha L'Gufa, and even though it's Mekalkel, and call it a Mekalkel Gamur, but nevertheless, the Torah already taught us the Chiddush that with regard to Meleches Chovel, which principle, which overriding principle in Shabbos is suspended and does not apply, which rule in Shabbos that applies to all the other malachas does not apply apparently to Meleches Chovel, because again, Mekalkel is potter because of that rule, and Meleches Sheni Tzvicha Legufa is potter because of that rule. What rule am I do I have in mind? Excellent, Meleches Machsheves. That rule of Meleches Machsheves does not apply in the case of Chovel according to Reb Shimon. At least the way Rabbi Avoh understood Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Avoh understood the extreme Rabbi Shimon as being a pure kilkel. And Mila, as far as the Nechbal is concerned, is a pure kilkel, yet the Torah says Yechayev. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon derives the conclusion that pure kilkel in Meleches Chovel is Chayev. And the answer is because there's no requirement of Meleches Machsheves with regard to kilkel. I'm sorry, with regard to Chovel. If that be the case, says the Ramban, the requirement of Malacha Hatzricha Lagufa is also suspended with regard to Chovel. It makes no bit of a difference whether this Chovel is Tzricha Lagufa or ain't Tzricha Lagufa, because the whole reason why I need a Malacha Tzricha Lagufa according to Rav Shimon is because of what? Everybody, Meleches Machsheves, and with regard to Chovel there's no din of Meleches Machsheves. If there's no requirement of Meleches Machsheves, then he should be chayav for Chovel according to Rabbi Yafo's interpretation of Rav Shimon, even if it's a Malacha Sheino Tzricha Lagufa. And therefore, if a man victimizes someone, removes his dam, and he takes that dam and he lets it spill on the floor, he throws in the rubbish, he gets no benefit, no use from the dam, and therefore it's ain't tzricha legufa, will he be chayev? Yeah. You bet, he'll certainly be chayev.
And Mila, he'll be chayev?
And Milo also be chayv, even if let's say
the thorn in the thumb.
Oh, that's the next line. David, you could have written the next line. Inami, I'll give you another case where you're gonna be chayov for Meleches Chovel, even though it's Makalkel according to Rav Shimon, and even though it's Eino Tzricha Legufa. Note El Hakotz V'Chaval. What is he doing with the blood after he removes the thorn? Zilch, he's doing nothing with the blood. And yet the Gemara says that he's potter. According to this, Rabbi Avoh, he should be chayav. The Gali Rachmani the Lo Beinan Behu Meleches Machsheves. With regard to Meleches Chovel, the Torah has revealed to us in the Parsha Mila that you're chayav even if it's not a Meleches Machsheves, because that's the unique nature of Chovel. So we've been saying until now that which principle is suspended with regard to Chovel according to Rav Shimon? Call Hamakalkel Patur. That's what we were saying before this paragraph in the Ramban. Now says the Ramban, I want you to say it sharper, say it better. Which principle is suspended with regard to Chovel? Leave out Makalkel. Which principle? Meleches Machsheves. If you only say Makalkel, then you might mistakenly come to the conclusion that you need a Malacha Tzricha Legufa. The Ramban wants to say you don't even need a Malacha Tzricha Legufa, and even if it's Eina Tzricha Legufa, you're still going to be Chai, because which principle is suspended with regard to Chovel? Meleches Machsheves. V'hochi nami amrini kai gabne mesef de krisus hanach l'chabura hoel makalkel chai misasek nami chai. We have a principle in Hilchah Shabbos that misasek is potur, means you had no intention of doing this malacha, you're potur. And if you did it b'shogi, you don't even have to bring a korban chatos. Says Ramban, that principle is also based on the requirement of Meleches Machsheves. If you did a malacha inadvertently, that's not called Meleches Machsheves. There was no scheming, no planning, no intention. But what malacha is going to be the exception now?
Chovel,
because Chovel doesn't need to be metaken, and even Makalkel is chayav. There's no requirement of Meleches Machsheves.
So you scratch yourself by accident on Shabbat and you're chayav?
You cut your finger and the dam comes out. Yeah, I think that's what comes out of the Gemara in Krisus, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have the Gemara in front of me now.
No, I think Rabbi Shimon said that Mechaba of Mitasek is Chayav.
Right, so that's what David is saying, that if you accidentally cut yourself with a knife on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Shimon, to where Rabbi Avoh, yeah, you'd be Chayav. Why? Because there's no din of Meleches Machsheves. It's a Makalkel. It's Einat Tzricha Legufa. Call it even Misasek. But all these halachas and all these Peturim are generated by Meleches Machsheves. v'lo kapid b'chabura v'leches makshevus. We don't have any kpeda, we have don't any requirement of m'leches makshevus with regard to chabura. So that misasek as a poter is suspended mishum d'v'leches makshevusu. Why is he poter in misasek because of m'leches makshevus? So on both sides, we can now anticipate what the Ramban is going to say in the next paragraph. Namely, what about the whole Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that you're allowed to take out a kotz even though dam is going to come out because it's a malach shen esricha legufa? What are we going to have to add now?
It's not a liba there.
Exactly, it's not a liba there, Rav Yavo and Rav Shimon, and that's what the Ramban is going to present in the next paragraph, that the whole sugya of kotz, of removing a thorn, is all a reflection of Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Shimon, but not Rabbi Avo's understanding of Rabbi Shimon. I'll just give you that. We don't have time now to go through the entire piece, but I'll just focus on the line that I want you to underline here. Oh, you'll see towards the end of the paragraph, Vahad Yamrinon, if you want to underline that. And he quotes the Gemara in Elu Heina Nechnokim on the next paragraph, which is on the next line, I'm sorry, which is Sanhedrin Pei Dalet Amid Beis. The Melach Shein Esricha LeGufa, therefore it's Patur. Kulhu, underline these words, Kulhu Aliba de Rav Yochanan Hasya. All that is according to Rav Yochanan. Dil Rabbi Avo Lo Boy Melach Atzricha LeGufa. So basically, all the limitations and the restrictions that apply to Shabbos by virtue of Melacha Meleches Machsheves are all suspended with regard to Meleches Chabur, according to Rabbi Avo's understanding of Rabbi Shimon, and therefore everything is going to be Chayav. You broaden the scope of your Chiyuv for Meleches Chovel in an unlimited way. You're going to be chayav from a kalkel because there's no din of Meleches Machsheves. You're going to be chayav from Misasik, there's no din of Meleches Machsheves. You're going to be chayav from Melacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa because there's no din of Meleches Machsheves. In all these cases, you're going to be chayav. So both sides, again, we're going to stop here. I'm not giving up, you know, right here. I want to finish this from Ramban B'li Neder. I gave you an article, right, an essay. It looks like this. Okay? And it's from a sefer called Hema Yenachamuni, and he has a whole piece here on Mekalkel Dini, if you'll see that, which means halachic kilkul. Like, let's say, for example, planting on Shabbos is one of the 39 melachos. But what about planting kilayim? He plants two seeds that belong to two different species. Would he be chayav for such a thing? Well, one could argue that it's Meleches Kilkul, because what is he ending up with? At the end of the day, he's ending up with Kalayim. Kalayim is also about, no, you're not allowed to have any benefit from it. So, where's the benefit of Shabbos? Or do we say no? Physically, biologically, he has benefit from it. The fact that the Torah prohibits it, that doesn't make it into Meleches Mekalkul. So that's going to be this essay. When are we going to get to it? I do not know. Okay, that's why I ask you to hold on to it in your archives, because again, I always want to give you a little bit of a jump ahead on the photocopy. And thanks for the musical accompaniment.